chapter 4, verse 10. Our Lord Jesus is at the well in Sychar called Jacob's Well, and he is there on purpose to minister to a woman who was a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Oh, what a blessed gift is here described. Living water. Water springing up unto everlasting life in a man's soul. Water, a wondrous giver. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, the God-man, our mediator. What delightful terms. Ask. Ask. If you'd ask, I'll give it. If you'd ask, if you knew, oh, if you just knew the gift, if you just knew who it is that speaks to you, you'd ask, and I would give you that living water. The text you have before you then was inspired and written here in the book of God specifically to teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ has all grace, salvation, and eternal life in himself. That he has it for sinners to give away freely. And he gives it to every sinner who asks. Every sinner who asks. Just ask. And it shows, "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now this is the doctrine of the gospel, the message of the Bible. Oh, may God cause you this day to come to Christ. To ask him to give you living water. If you ask, I promise you, you will leave here today with God's grace and God's Spirit in you, a well of living water springing up in you unto everlasting life. When our Lord Jesus spoke to eternity-bound sinners, he had no interest in impressing his hearers with his theological acumen or his oratorical skills. His object was to get men and women convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Therefore, he spoke with the utter simplicity of ordinary, everyday language, so that folks he was talking to understood every word he spoke. In fact, they said, never a man spoke like this man. The preachers we've all heard, they were polished and refined. He talked so we understand them. Preachers we've all heard, they impressed us with their learning. He impressed us with his knowledge. There's a difference. There's a difference. I fear far too much preaching is designed to impress men, not to convert them. May God save me from doing it and save you from hearing it. I want, by the wisdom, grace, and power of God the Holy Spirit, wisdom, grace, and power that only he can give, to speak to your hearts for the glory of God and your soul's everlasting good. Oh, my soul, I want to speak to your heart for the glory of God and your soul's everlasting good. And God is my witness, that's all I want as a preacher. Just to speak to you by the power of God. Now may God give me your attention as I endeavor to answer one question this morning. The question which this poor sinful woman put to the Son of God. Whence hast thou that living water? The Lord Jesus told this woman plainly that if she had known the gift of God and who he was that was speaking to her, she would ask of him and he would give her living water. Now I fully realize that she did not know the full implication of what the Lord was saying, but she knew something. She knew something. She knew he was not talking about the stagnant water, the runoff water that was gathered below the ground in this thing called Jacob's well, that stale, stagnant, empty water that had to be constantly replenished with real rain coming down from heaven and running off and being reserved down there in that thing called Jacob's well. Oh no, she knew he wasn't talking about that. She knew that he was talking about bubbling water, gushing up water from a spring, from an artesian well, bubbling up unto life. And so she asked him a very reasonable question. She said, "Sir, how is it you've got this water? You don't have a rope, and you don't have a water pot. How are you going to get this water to me? How is it that you have this refreshing, this invigorating, this satisfying, this water that you call living water?" Well, our Lord Jesus here uses the words living water to describe God's grace, His salvation, eternal life, which is given to sinners by Him, by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the fact is that God's way of salvation, or God's salvation, is often described in exactly this way in the Scriptures. Turn over to John chapter 7. Our Lord Jesus has been up with the Jews to the Feast of Tabernacles. He had been up to a Bible conference at Jerusalem. And folks had been reading their theological papers and reciting their theological junk and gibberish, and they had been going through their religious ritualism. And the Lord looked at them and He said, "Looks to me like you're coming away the same way you came down here. Looks to me like you came in empty and you're going out empty. Looks to me like you came here thirsty and you're going away thirsty." And in the last day, the great day of the feast, you see it, verse 37? Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You remember in Isaiah, where the prophet says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." The Word of God frequently describes God's salvation with the words water or living water. I realize that in this text and in many places in the Scripture, the word may properly be referred to as referring to the Word. The Word of God is often referred to as being water, water to cleanse and refresh. It is in John chapter 7, verse 38, plainly said to be referring to God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is often the spoken to of, in the Scriptures as being water by which we are cleansed and refreshed. But the word that's used here in John 4, and the word as it's used many places in Scripture, probably predominantly in Scripture, with reference to salvation, is talking about the whole thing, the whole gift of God's grace, the whole operation of grace, the whole gift of eternal life, which comes by God's Holy Spirit, but comes only from Jesus Christ the Lord. It's described as being water for several reasons. First, water is a gift of God. Nobody ever created any water. Water is God's gift. Water is something that God alone can give to men. And so it is that eternal life, salvation, is the gift of God alone. It's not something you can conjure up. It's not something men can produce. It's the gift of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Secondly, water is vital. You can't get along without it. You got to have it. You just got to have it. You can get along without a lot of things, but you can't get along without water. No one can survive without it. Without it, you'll soon die. And God's salvation is vital. Remember how our Lord spoke to Martha concerning her sister Mary? "She hath chosen that one thing needful, and it'll not be taken away from her." Oh, I would to God you would hear me. There is only one thing needful. Only one thing. Only one thing. Christ. That's all that's needful. You don't have to have anything but Him. Oh, but you've got to have him. You've got to have him. You've got to have God's grace. You've got to have God's righteousness. You've got to have God's mercy. You've got to have God open your heart, pour in his life and his grace. You've got to have him. Water is compared to God's salvation and grace because it meets a universal need. Water is not the requirement of some men, but of all men. All the sons and daughters of Adam stand upon equal footing here. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor. Doesn't matter how learned you are or how illiterate. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, red, yellow, or otherwise. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female. All of us have got to have water. And we've all got to have grace. Doesn't matter whether you're vile, immoral, profligate sinner, or whether you're an upright, respected, high, mighty, well-to-do citizen of the land. It doesn't matter whether you go to church 3 times a week or you've never been in church. It doesn't matter whether everybody thinks you're real good or everybody thinks you're real bad. You've got to have grace. You've got to have salvation. You've got to have mercy. You've got to have the righteousness of another, because that which men esteem to be goodness and that which you esteem to be goodness, God calls filthy rags. Just filthy rags. Water comes down from heaven. It's not of the earth. No, it originally comes down from heaven. You find it in the earth. But it comes down from heaven and is found in the earth, that it gathers up and goes back up in heaven. That's God's grace. It comes down from heaven. You find it here in the earth. God pours out upon needy souls and it goes back to him for the praise of his name. God's salvation is well described by the word water, because water, like salvation, is a gift with multiple benefits. Get some water and bathe yourself, wash away the filth. Just feels good to be clean. The water, you take it in your hand and put a little on a fevered brow, or you dip a sponge or a washcloth in it, and you wipe that fevered brow of a sick one, and you see some relief and soothing. You take water and drink, and it quenches your thirst. When you're weary, nothing so refreshing as water. Nothing so satisfies your soul as water. So it is with God's grace. It cleanses. And it soothes this fevered brow. And it gives refreshment to this weary sinner. And it quenches my thirst. And it satisfies me in my soul. It gives me life. Water is something of which we never tire. Now, when I wrote that down, I thought, there's going to be some question about that. Because my wife doesn't like water. Well, she does. She just doesn't like kind of get out of the spigot. And she doesn't much like the stuff you buy. You know, that yuppie stuff that came out of California, folks making $1 million on, it's still stale and stagnant. But I defy anybody, Larry, to walk through the mountains of West Virginia, North Carolina on a hot July day and see a spring of water gushing out of a rock and not take a drink. I don't care who you are, you don't get tired of that kind of water. And I'm telling you, if ever, ever you taste this living water that's in Jesus Christ alone, you'll never tire of it. You'll never tire of it, because chosen sinners never get tired of electing love. Redeemed sinners never get tired of redeeming blood. Those who are pardoned never get tired of pardon. Men and women who've been captive never get tired of being free. You never tire of this water. Water is that which is sovereignly distributed. We saw a little taste of that this summer, didn't we? This part of the country, we about always have rainfall year round. Just falls just real regularly. But God can turn the tap water off. He can shut it off real easy. He sends water in abundance one place and rarely in another. He sends the flood and he sends the drought. Sometimes he causes the rain to fall gently, and constantly upon a place that is blessed with abundant rain. And he dries up the riverbeds in other places. So it is with his grace. God gives it to whom he will. He gives it to whom he will. Some places he sends the dew of heaven. Moses said, my doctrine fell as the dew from heaven. Oh, what a blessed description of gospel truth. It falls down from heaven, sweet, refreshing, like the morning dew. But sometimes he doesn't send it anywhere. Doesn't send it at all. There are some lands where there's no light, where God has shut them up in darkness. Oh, it is true the gospel has been sent into all the world. But men and women who have despised it now have it taken from them, and the light that was in them is turned into darkness. And God sends the gospel where he will, even here, right now. Some of you today will walk out of here refreshed in Christ, washed in his blood, robed in his righteousness, rejoicing in his goodness, drinking from the fountain filled with blood, drinking from his rich, 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 overflowing abundance. And some of you here will walk away dry and empty and thirsty. God sends his grace where he will. All right, here's another thing. This water, this living, living water, comes to sinners only from Christ. Oh, how can I stress this as I would? If you would have this water, you've got to get it from him. You've got to get it from him. And you've got to get it yourself, Gary. Got to get it yourself. I talked to a fellow just recently. Asked him, I said, how long have you been a believer? He was raised in one of those churches, Skip, like you were, where they slosh a little water on your face and the folks presume they've been saved all their life. He said, I've always been a believer. My response is, that's too long. That's too long. No, you've not always been a believer. No, you may have always been religious, but you've not always been a Christian. You may have always been religious, but you've not always been saved. You may have always been religious, but you've not always believed God. Salvation, eternal life, grace is in Jesus Christ alone. Only in Christ, and in Christ in infinite abundance. This water, this living water, doesn't come from the church. It's not in these waters. No, this is just water. The waters of baptism won't cleanse anything except your body, and only then if you use a little soap. The waters of baptism do nothing for you. Do nothing for you except give you occasion by which to confess your faith in Christ. This water doesn't come by walking down to some imaginary altar in a Baptist church or a Catholic church either. It doesn't come by repeating a little prayer that somebody tells you to say. Oh no, this water is in Christ. Only in Christ. It doesn't come by learning catechism. It doesn't come by being confirmed in the church. It doesn't come by religious ritualism. It doesn't come by moral reformation. It doesn't come by a decision, an experience, or feelings. This water is in Christ alone. If you'd have it, you've got to do business with him. You got to do business with him. No, preacher, what do I do? Believe it. Believe. Drink from the water. Drink from the fountain. Believe on the Son of God. That's the only way there is to get it. And you do that sitting right where you are. Don't move a mouth. Don't move a muscle. Don't even move your lips. Just sit right where you are. Oh, you got to give you got to give the sinner something to do. That's the problem with this age. Preachers have been giving sinners something to do. And you do something and think you got life by it. No, no. Believe on the Son of God. And only he can give you faith to believe. Of his fullness have we received grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A form of godliness will do you no good. You've got to have Christ. A religious experience will do you no good. You've got to have Christ. Apart from Christ, a form of godliness, a religious experience is damning, not saving. This salvation is the gift of God. I know I've already said that, but I will gladly run the risk of appearing redundant. And I will repeat myself deliberately if I can persuade you to look to Him for it. It can't be bought. It can't be earned, not by you. It can't be given by someone else. It can't be inherited from your family. It's the gift of God. Oh, God, give water to sinners. Well, how is it that Christ alone has this gift? Whence then hast thou that living water? It's true. Salvation is the work of the triune God. The Father chose us, the Son redeemed us, the Spirit converts us. But God the Father will not and cannot give us this living water without Christ. God the Spirit cannot and will not give us this living water without Christ, the God-man, our mediator. Whence hast thou that living water? Well, several reasons and several ways. Number one, because He's the only fit person who could have it. He's the only one who could. God could never come down to man. It can't happen. God can't come to you. God can't visit you. God can't speak to you. And you can't come up to God. You can't speak to God. You can't visit God. God's Spirit, your flesh. God's Holy, your sin. How are you going to get to Him? How are you going to approach Him? That's impossible. Matter of fact, the Scripture describes Him as that one who dwells in light, whom no man has seen nor can see, whom no man can approach. No man can touch God. Well, how on earth is it that we have life eternal with Him? How are we accepted with Him? Through a mediator who is God and man in one glorious person. Jesus Christ is that one who is described as the one God and the one mediator between God and men. Our God and men to man, Christ Jesus. Did you ever notice how careful the New Testament writers are in referring to the Lord Jesus Christ to use the most reverent, adoring terms to speak of Him? Occasionally He's referred to by His name Jesus. Not often, but occasionally. He is sometimes referred to by His title Christ. Sometimes, frequently, He is called the Lord. But most often, whenever the writers of the New Testament write concerning Him, they speak of Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle writes again and says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. The Lord's coming. Why is it that He's described in such a way? Well, because He's the Lord. He's the Lord. Salvation, eternal life, this water of life is in Him because He's the Lord and it's His. It's His to give to whom He will. Is it not right for me to do with my own what I will? He says so. Salvation is of the Lord. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. In fact, the Scripture says salvation is the Lord's. It's in His hands. It belongs to Him. You don't have a right to it. You don't have a claim on it. You don't have any merit of it. It's God's. And He gives it to whom He will. He's called the Lord Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how I love that name given to Him. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, how come? For He shall. He shall save His people from their sins. He has a people given to Him before He ever came into the world. And He came here to save them. And save them He will. He is called the Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. He is the anointed one sent from God to be our Savior. On the day of His immersion by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, you remember the Holy Spirit descended from heaven in the form of a dove and lit on Him and abode on Him.
declaring that God has poured out His Spirit without measure upon him.
He is anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. This is exactly what our Lord said when he sat down in the temple and began his public ministry. Turn back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. He's beginning his public ministry. He's in the temple. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue. The synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And they gave him one of the books of the law. Gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And in verse 18, he turned to a place. He just opened it up. Now, can you imagine this? They didn't have Bibles like we got with chapter verses and division. They had scrolls of paper scribbled on every which way. And they didn't have the center column referencing, but he was familiar with the book. And he turned to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61 in verse 1. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Everybody stood there looking at him. And he began, verse 21, to say to them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." He said, "Boys, I'm the one he's talking about. I am that one anointed of God. He has this living water of salvation and grace and eternal life to give to sinners, because he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has it also by divine purpose." In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us that he is set forth. God hath set forth his Son to be a propitiation for sin. The Apostle Peter tells us that he is the Lamb of God, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus is authorized of God himself to be our Savior. He came here by divine appointment. He came here by divine anointing. And that which God has provided, God will accept. What do you offer God? What God provided? His own Son. That's it. That's the only thing I bring to him, is his Son. Christ has this living water in himself to give to sinners, because he obtained it with his blood. He earned it by his obedience to his Father's will. As our mediator or representative, surety and substitute. And he bought it with his blood. He obtained eternal redemption for us with his precious blood. And this is the reward of his Father that he promised to him as the result of his obedience and accomplishments as our mediator. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." The Lord God says, now, since he has accomplished redemption, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Oh, look yonder on the throne of glory, on the throne of God, and see yonder that man who died at Calvary 2,000 years ago, and he has in his hands salvation and life and grace, the water of life to give to sinners. He has it. The Lord Jesus Christ has grace, salvation, and eternal life, living water for poor and needy sinners, because of his intercession and advocacy in heaven at God's right hand. Because he is an abiding, ever-living high priest, the scripture says, he's able to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by him. Now I want you to hear one more thing. Oh, God help you to hear me. God help you to believe. This living water. Are you listening? Are you listening? This living water is yours for the asking. Ask, and you shall receive. Is that not what our Master told this Samaritan woman? Said, if you knew, what this gift is,
if you knew who I am, you'd say, give me the drink,
and I'd give it to you.
I'd give it to you.
He doesn't have this grace, this salvation,
this living water,
eternal life and peace. He doesn't have these things for himself. He doesn't need them. He has them to give away. To give away. And he has them in infinite fullness. Christ has living water. The living water of salvation and grace for thirsty sinners. He has this living water in inexhaustible, infinite fullness. It'd be kind of foolish for me, should Skip Gladfelter to write me out a check, or better yet, go to the bank and get me a cashier's check drawn on the bank for $50. And I go down there and I take it to the teller and I say, now honey, you know, I don't want to be a trouble to y'all, but I've got this check for $50 from Skip Gladfelter, the cashier's check y'all wrote out, and if you don't think it'd break your bank up, I'd like you to cash that. Well, she'd look at me and kind of laugh. You fool, you think this bank's only worth $50? Oh, let me tell you something. There is an infinite supply of grace in the Son of God. And when all of God's elect drink from it all the days of our lives on this earth, there'll be none the less in the Son of God. There's an infinite supply of pardon in Him. And when He's given His pardon to all His people, there's no less pardon in Him still. There's an infinite supply of merit in Jesus Christ. Come, drink from the water.